So let's start with this is Growing Up Aspen, Adventures of the Unsupervised, a podcast, a Joiner's Table podcast, Chris Pomeroy and Andy Collin, and we're here with Barkley Dodge, owner of Bosque Restaurant in Aspen. And you're talking about it getting tough with the seasons on and off. How do you sort of prepare a little bit like that? Do you have a certain mindset for when you're heading into the off season, or do you just try to power through?
I've done it so many times now. I mean, we close flat out. That's one reason I live in Aspen. If I wanted to work at a higher level in restaurant, I could live in New York and work 365.
But
lifestyle here is amazing.
Yeah.
And that the fact that we get to work at this high level as well, in a town that's where we get like 3-4 months off a year, is pretty special.
Yeah.
So I'm really used to opening and closing. I mean, I've done it, I don't even, since the mid 90s, I've been opening and closing for off seasons. It was kind of like when we went into COVID, it was like easy.
Right.
We were closing down anyway for off season. I thought we were going to open right after off season. That wasn't the case. So we use the time in off season like really strategically. The fall, I kind of dedicate to the team.
Uh-huh.
So team trip. We've done Copenhagen and 2 trips to Mexico now. Mexico,
wow.
We're really fond of. We just got back from a trip from Mexico where we did a cooking gig. It was a collaboration amongst five chefs in total from around the world, all high caliber. And we did a 5-day event. And then after that, the team and I, my sous chefs and I, took off in a car and just explored the Yucatan by way of food the whole way.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
So cool.
It's cool. And then last year we did Mexico City, and I try to support it as best I can. Like, I can't afford to take 10 people on a full paid trip. So I think they took care of airfare and like an Airbnb. They all piled into one Airbnb, and I picked up everything for the week we were there.
Wow.
Cool.
We're hitting high-end restaurants too. And you know, Copenhagen.
It reminds me, there was a place we used to go to in Fort Collins when I lived there, a place called Pulcinella, and it was just a phenomenal restaurant, Barkley. But what they did for their wait staff, even actually every one of their employees had to go to Italy for an entire year. The guy that owned the place had a property in Italy and learn about the wines in the region so that they were able to come back and pair the wines with the food based on like the different ash from the Mount Vesuvius and things like that. It was really cool.
They did
tests. So like they would test these guys and they had to write a 40-page paper or something on their experience or something. It was just such a cool way to think about it because, you know, growing up there, we all got spit out of all the different restaurants, you know, and we, you know, from dishwashing and everything else. But it was just such a cool way to think about it. You're saying reminds me of that. Just taking those people all over the world that's really, really cool.
Yeah. And the camaraderie that's built is, I think, the best thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the
camaraderie and the understanding. And both coming from a similar place, that really helps, you know,
yeah.
As much as you can.
And you shed all the like hierarchies that are kind of fall within a business.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still chef, but I'm just like everybody else on that trip. We're just hanging out and having fun and just, you know, shooting the shit with each other and sparring with each other. And it's just like, it was just very friendly.
Yeah.
And it was very easy. It wasn't like I'm your boss or anything.
Right.
It was cool. I really liked it. That was the best part of the trip for me. It was better than the food. It was that camaraderie that we pick up.
Well, I remember you were talking about working in a bunch of different restaurants and a bunch of different things. Do you have one incident that you felt like really sparked something in you as a chef when you were working there where you were like, oh my gosh. And all of a sudden you noticed it was an experience that put you into chef mode. Is there any
From early on?
Yeah. From one of your earlier restaurant experiences.
As messed up as Mezzaluna was, like, place to work back in the 80s.
Yeah.
It was.
I know, it was definitely a place.
That's really where it started, you know, like, and it wasn't, and the incident was, I love the rush of service. Like, 5:30, you're about to open, you're totally screwed, you're not set up, you're frantic trying to get set up because you're about to get hit hard. Everybody's coming together, the whole teamwork thing, the hustle and bustle. Like, I got that addiction like right away.
Yeah.
And that never left. I love, my favorite hour of the day is 5:30 when we're all just bent over.
Well, there's a point. There's a point in which you're not thinking, you're just doing, and you're just going, and you're just trying to get to the next wave or out to the, so you can prepare for the next wave. And that camaraderie is a really special thing, I must say. If you haven't worked in a restaurant, it's worth it just for that experience, I think.
Yeah. It's definitely an autopilot scenario.
Yeah.
When you start getting busy like that.
Yeah.
And it, you know, I just fell in love with it all. Like, I don't know. It was so long ago when I started, and it's so long ago when I realized this was the path I was on. But it was been fun all along the way. I mean, San Francisco at 20 years old was amazing.
Yeah.
A blast.
Yeah.
And on my own and in school and hanging out in restaurants all the time. And I mean, I was broke because I was 20 years old in San Francisco, but it was rich the whole way. San Francisco was a good turning point. Like, I was hooked after that. Never looked back.
Yeah. Is there a chef movie or a chef film that you think is your favorite, like The Big Night or Babette's Feast?
Well, it's not the films. It's the documentary Chef's Table.
Oh.
Have you guys seen that?
No. I'll see it. I'll check it out.
I'm not really big in food TV. I just don't dig it. But this one, the cinematography and the interview process and the chefs that they chose, some of the best filmmaking I've seen.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, check it out. There's like six seasons of it. The first two, I think, are the best.
Okay.
That's really cool. But it's worth watching. And so there's a couple of documentaries within those series that I mean, I've seen it a dozen times.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
And I find technique out of it. Like, you learn stuff from watching that kind of those kind of things.
Well, that's sort of what's interesting, as now that there are a lot of these cooking shows, it's getting a little bit more commonplace. In other words, we're reaching into a little bit more of a normalcy cooking, or at least people are aware of exploring. I mean, whether it's Gordon Ramsay or someone else, it's like people are getting exposed. And in a way, it's sort of opening the door a little bit, where people are a little more adventurous.
Huge. I mean, food TV probably started when, like, 2010, pretty good.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, like mid-America, like, the cities are always pushing the envelope.
Right.
The other parts of this large country, like, they were getting exposed to arugula. I know it sounds funny.
Yeah.
And it's been a godsend. And another cool thing that's happened I've seen is you have these chefs from, like, let's say, Topeka. And they leave Topeka to go to New York or go to Chicago and, like, cut their teeth in a really good restaurant under a really good chef. And then they're like, well, I can't really afford to, like, buy real estate here or buy my business. So they go home. And these cities across America have just become so much more rich.
Yeah.
On a strong culinary level, because it's been like 15, 20 years in the making of these kids getting trained and now going back home. I mean, I did it here.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Yeah.
I cut my teeth in restaurants here, but
yeah,
the skill level.
No, it's awesome.
It wasn't what it was like in San Francisco and New York. So you learn from really great people, and then you find out where you want to be, and maybe you want to stay there, or maybe you want to come home. And this is easy.
Out here in Oregon, it's pretty interesting, because I mean, it's been going on for about 10 years now. But the food truck industry, you know, the craft beer got big out here. Well, the food truck got really big too. I mean, you could go get stuff at a food truck that's as good, if not better, than some restaurant here. Yes, you know, it's
always the best.
It's amazing, you know. Yeah.
And for like $20.
Right, exactly.
We're like 250.
We've got the Southern Fusion thing out here. It's kind of cool. Actually, we have, you know, in terms of TV, the Hugh Atchison is, I think he's one of the judges on all those shows, but he's actually based in Athens here. Did you find any inspiration from like Anthony Bourdain?
Yeah,
I mean, a little. I read his book quickly, his famous book.
The Kitchen Confidential.
Kitchen Confidential. But no, not too much from him. I think it was more from like chefs that I work for. And, you know, another thing that's been huge for the industry is Instagram, social media. Because when I was starting off my career, you know, if we wanted to get information from another chef out there, we had to go buy the book. Right. And this is pre-internet. So you had to buy the book. The book was like $75 or more because it was always glossy, fancy chef book.
Right.
And it was expensive. And now with social media, we're so connected. I can connect with a chef in Brazil.
Right.
On the back end, messaging him on his, you know, on an Instagram and start a dialogue. And the photos that we're seeing, we're like, ooh, how'd they do that? Like, that's cool. So DM the chef and ask them. And 99% of the time, you get a response. Like, there's a dialogue there. And I think that's part of the craft, too. We're all trying to make the craft better.
Cool. Well, so that's a whole new, you know, it's funny because we always talk about the detriment of the internet and how it's destroying our society, but it actually feels like in some cases like that, it's actually bringing people together, and it's actually a tool that, I mean, you couldn't even come close to replicating.
Yeah, not at all.
You know, whereas now, like you say, 2 minutes and you're in the Amazon.
Exactly. And it's, you know how the internet is. I mean, there's a bazillion images a day. So you're getting from every reach of the world. And I mean, of course, my Instagram is full of food. So all the stuff that comes to me is restaurant related. So it just opens up so many doors and relationships. And it's been pretty cool. I really like, you know, social media for that reason. And that's been a huge source of information now for just cooks in general.
Right. Thanks for listening. The authors of Growing Up Aspen would like to thank you, and would like to also thank the Aspen Times and the Aspen Daily News for giving us materials for our book, Growing Up Aspen, Adventures of the Unsupervised, which you can get at twistandturnpress.com and any local bookstore. Thanks.